Chapter 47. The Door Was Shut. Rage and violence were seen on every side as the rulers held up their hands in pious horror when Jesus declared, after their last rejection of him, that he was the Messiah. Their anger was so great that many stooped and gathered stones to stone him for blasphemy. Jesus had done everything that could be done to make them see the truth, but they were narrow, bigoted, blind, and with an aching heart he went out of the temple for the last time. He had ended his work with the leaders, and, weary and sad, he went down across the valley of Kidron and up the side of Olivet on his way to Bethany. Four of the disciples were with him, perplexed and troubled over what they could not understand, and the little group went on until they reached the brow of the mount, where they sat down and silently looked back upon the city. The disciples had heard Jesus tell the rulers that their sins would bring destruction, but not only to the temple, but also upon the nation. Besides this, he spoke of his going away and of his coming again at the end of the world. After a time of sober thought, they said to Jesus, "Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world?" Jesus replied with many words of warning. He said that when the day of the Lord should come to the world, it would come unexpectedly, but to the faithful it would not matter when it came, they would have their reward, but to the untrustworthy, the selfish, the hypocrite, the oppressor, it would come with swift and terrible destruction. The only thing for them and for all his followers to do was to always be about their Father's business. And whenever the call came for them, to be ready with a cheerful answer, "Here am I." To make this last lesson more impressive, he told two parables, the wise and the foolish virgins, and the parable of the talents, both understood as a symbolic reference to the last judgment. "Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. 10 took their lamps, but 5 took no oil with them." You know about the custom of the bridegroom going from his home to the home of the bride. It is in the evening, the streets are dark, and there is a procession where men bear torches and women march with lamps, all accompanied by singers and musicians to attend the bridegroom. Perhaps some of the friends from a distance did not arrive, so just as it is in this age, there were hindrances and delays. Among the guests were these friends of the bride who had started out to march in the procession, and while waiting for the bridegroom, they became drowsy and took a nap. They had been busy all day preparing for this very evening, and as not one of them was the bride, they had no particular anxiety as to the cause of the delay. 5 of them knew that they were prepared, and 5 were of the kind of happy-go-lucky sort of maidens that ignored all kinds of duties that they did not like to do, and caring for the lamps was one of them. About midnight there came the joyful cry, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh! Come ye forth to meet him!" The wise maidens had their little jars of oil. They replenished their lamps, trimmed the wicks, and off they started. But the 5 happy-go-lucky maidens forgot to bring oil. If they had been in the habit of doing the duties they did not like to do, they would have had their jar of oil with them. This they suddenly realized as their lamps burned low, smoked, and went out. They at once turned to the 5 with lamps trimmed and burning and begged for oil. But the 5 wise maidens had already put oil in their lamps and had no more than they needed for themselves. Do you think they ought to have given of their own? If they had, before they reached the bridegroom's house, all might have been in darkness. Those foolish maidens have been leaving their lamps unfilled ever since the first careless and untrusty act of their lives. Not literally leaving unfilled lamps, but had been building up a character of the order that neglected the little next duties. They shirked household duties and lessons of all kinds whenever they could, and so, of course, when any crisis came they were to be depended on, they failed. It is like the girls who do not get their lessons at school. When midterm examinations come, they are not ready. But the 5 girls in the next row who have each lesson every day well prepared When examination comes for them, they have their lamps trimmed and burning. The mothers of the five foolish maidens had often warned them not to be careless, but the girls thought mothers did not know about the girls of their age. She was too particular. They did not heed her advice. Now, if Jesus were thinking about a faithful character that would be watchful for any emergency, of course he knew that character could not be given from one to the other, that the character of the five wise maidens could not be transferred to the foolish ones. Then there might have been other comparisons in the mind of Jesus. The church on earth is called the bride, and the Lord Jesus the bridegroom. Now you know for a certainty that when the Lord Jesus calls on any who ought to belong to him, if she is not ready, with lamp trimmed and burning, no one on earth can help her to get oil for her lamp. Yes, it is very sad, and one cannot help being sorry for these maidens, for when the procession with its torches, lamps, gaily dressed young men and maidens carrying banners, with the singing and making music passed along, the foolish maidens had gone off to get oil for their lamps. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "You are strangers to me. You were not among the friends of the bride, and I know you not, so you can have nothing to do at my marriage. Learn from this parable that you must watch, for you know not the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." The disciples understood this parable. Their hearts had been saddened that day, but there seemed to be a deeper comprehension of what Jesus said than there had ever been before. You know how differently we listen to serious truths when our hearts are heavy from what we do when we are gay and light-hearted. They knew that Jesus wanted them to understand that no one shut the door of glad opportunities for them except as each one shut it for himself. He wanted them to understand that if they did not enter into the new kingdom, that no one but themselves could be blamed because the door was shut. But these men were middle-aged men, and they had fixed the habits of their lives years and years before. If they had not done their best in every lesson they ought to have learned, what could they do about it now? Nothing except listen to Jesus and learn of him. If they would do this, he would make their lives all right. This parable of the wise and foolish virgins taught the lessons of watchfulness. He told another that was to show them how to use the truths they had learned. The second parable Jesus told that Tuesday afternoon, as they sat on the Mount of Olives looking down on the city and beautiful temple, was the parable of the talents. Sometime before this, Jesus had told a parable of the pounds, somewhat like this one which he told of the talents. Luke tells the parable of the mina, translated pound, equal to 100 drachmas. The money entrusted to others in that parable of the pounds was only about 1/60th as much as was entrusted in the parable of the talents. It was so small an amount that it could be hidden in a napkin. The parable Jesus tells on this Tuesday is about a larger sum of money. The value in our day would be about $50,000, which the householder put into the hands of his most trusted servant, who received 5 talents. Matthew tells this parable. "The kingdom of heaven is as when a man going into another country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his several ability, and he went on his journey. The man who received the 5 talents used the money so that he doubled it. The man who received 2 talents did the same, doubled his capital. The man who received 1 talent put neither faith nor works into what his master had entrusted to him, but went off in some corner, dug a hole in the earth, and buried his 1 talent. The men who doubled what they received had the comfort of knowing they had done their best, had that peace of mind which comes to everyone who is sure of his Lord's approval. They had the pleasure of possession and the joy of the approval, 2 rewards. For this second reward came when the husbandman returned, and they had reported when he said,
"Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The master gave the same words of approval to the servant with less ability, but who had done his best that he did to the 5-talent man. The master knew that even angels could do no more than their best, and he was so pleased with his 2 slaves that he freed them from slavery, made them his friends, and also made them rulers over many things. Oh, yes, it was worthwhile to be trustworthy. But there was one servant who did not like to work. He had but little faith in himself, in his neighbor, and none at all in his master. It is so pitiful to see the way he managed. He thought it was hardly worthwhile to thank his master for entrusting only $1,000 or $2,000 to him to use for starting in business. There were these other servants he thought no brighter than he was, and they had 2x as much, yet 1 had 5x as much. Now, if he had $50,000, it would be worthwhile to try and do something. It is too bad that such people had not all lived in that long ago. They have lived in every age, even this, but it seems good that their tribe is not increasing any faster than it is. Jesus meant in this parable, just as he did in the first one he told that afternoon, that the disciples must give a spiritual meaning to his stories. With this last one, he wanted that they should feel sure that, first of everything, they must do their best to make use of the different gifts entrusted to them for service in bringing God's kingdom to earth. If they did not cultivate their spiritual gifts, they would be crippled in their efforts to cultivate their physical and mental gifts. He had told them this fact long ago, when they were first chosen to be his disciples, that if they would seek first of everything, and always first in time, to work in the new kingdom, everything else would be added that was necessary for them. The closing of this parable added to their sadness. He said that the one servant who did not use his entrusted talent would lose not only all he had given him, but should be cast into outer darkness.
You see, this place away from the master was the place where he belonged. He would not use the light he had, and the punishment was the natural result of his refusal to do his best, or even make an effort to do anything at all. This man, who would not do as his Lord desired him to do, lost his position, lost the favor of his master. By his churlishness, he revealed to his master what a despicable character he had. He revealed it to himself, lost his own self-respect, and was ashamed to have others know what he was, lost his opportunity of increasing his talent and of making something of himself, lost what ability he had, and settled back into a state of absolute hopelessness. His laziness, his indolence, and his lovelessness are shown by the way he speaks to his master when asked what he had done with the talent he had entrusted to him. Just hear him. "Lord, I knew that thou wert a hard man, insensible of the feelings of others, seeking to gain by the fruit of other men's labors. You only gave me $1,000, while you gave the other servant, no better than I am, $5,000. You have so much money you do not know what to do with it, and how could I help feeling ugly because you did not give more to me? I could not do anything with only 1 talent. You know it was such a pittance." No wonder the master said, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, you know you could have done a great deal with the amount I gave you, and if you had done your best, you would have felt that I was a kind and good master. Your excuses are worse than vain, for if you knew that I was a hard master, all the more reason you had for trying to do your best. There is no other place for you but on the outside in the outer darkness." The parables ended. The disciples learned the lesson from them of watchfulness and of faithful service. They understood that faithfulness must be the gist of Christianity, but still they sat quietly as the sun began to sink behind Mount Zion. Their hearts were heavy with a great dread.